the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I like them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/ABC Radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ABC Radio. ZipRecruiter.com/ABC Radio.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will answer all of your questions.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will compare our prices to the market to make sure that you get the biggest savings.
Right now at Jack Schmidt Ford in Collinsville, get $3,000 cash back on a new 2017 Ford Fusion Edge or Explorer on top of their already great savings.
Yes, we will work hard to earn your business.
The other guys bought into the deal. You didn't like the way they made you feel. Now you're headed to the home of Yes, We Will. Jack Schmidt Ford, we get our
Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are half-price Wing Tuesdays. That means any size order of traditional wings cost half as much, making Tuesdays twice as good. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort, and joined by Ian Geist and Tim Weiland.
Present. Here.
And Dan Strauss. Bueller. Dan is on the phone. What are you trying to get some doctor to write you a note? Do you have a tardy slip? What's going on?
I do have a tardy slip. I'm just jumping on 170 right now from Highway 70. I was on westbound 70 coming in from downtown. I was going to make it in plenty of time, but there seems to be some sort of accident right around 170 going westbound. So eastbound 70 also is a nightmare. So everything is a mess.
You know what? I have Tim Weiland at the traffic desk right now. Tim?
Get off at Page.
Well, of course he has to get off at Page. That's how you come over here, the Westport.
You don't see it on the cameras. There was one at Lucas and Hunt that just cleared just a couple minutes ago. But, yeah, I see the backup. But the cameras are pointed a direction that I can't see anything at 170 there.
Dan, I got to tell you, I was talking to you off the air just 2 minutes ago. And I said, do you want to do this on the air? And you said, yeah. And I said, okay, call me back on a studio line. And after you hung up, I said to Ian and Tim, oh, great, I just told a guy with horrible eyesight who's driving in the rain to use his phone to call me back. And Tim immediately says, well, I'll look for another accident any second now.
Hey, and real quick here, and now that we're talking about that, looks like Highway 70 might be shut down right at 170. I can see it now.
Oh, yeah.
They're letting one lane get through, squeaking by.
You bailed at the right time, Dan.
Bailed, Dan.
Woo! Thank goodness. So there you go. So that's up to date, huh?
Yes.
We beat everybody.
Nobody does live traffic like, I can't see it, Dan Strauss.
Heck no.
That's your I can't see it witness news.
That's it. And you know what it is? What happens is my eyesight's fine in this mess. Everybody else comes down to my level.
That's very true.
It's true.
All right. So get off at Page and come in here, for goodness sake. We'll see you in a little while.
I am actually moving pretty well, and I see the Page exit coming up. So
all right.
I'll be there shortly.
All right. We'll see you in a little while.
Bye, Dan.
All right.
it is really ugly out today. I had lunch with a friend today, and a person at the table behind us, the two couples came in, and one of the guys said, boy, it's only good weather out there if you're a duck. And then I thought to myself, do ducks like to be pelted with rain? I know ducks swim and they spend their time in the water, but I would think that even if you are an amphibious animal, being pelted with hard rain, now that can't be a good thing.
Yeah, I've never been around a lake where I know ducks are normally swimming during a heavy rainstorm to see if they're still there or not.
Where do they go?
Under a tree? Like under the base of a tree? You're still going to get wet, but not pelted.
You're saying that the duck, which has a brain the size of a marble, comes to the same conclusion that we do.
Oh, sure.
Get the heck out of the water.
That's all instinct.
And get under a tree. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
That's all instinct.
And that is our National Geographic portion of the show today. coming up in a little while, our interview segment today is going to be with a guy who runs the Museum of Failure. I did not know there was an entire museum that was dedicated to the Rams. Thank you.
I was expecting a different punchline.
You were expecting a radio one.
Yeah. Well,
no, I'm not going there. I have to tell you this quick little story. The guy we're calling runs this Museum of Failure in Sweden. Well, it's 3:20 p.m. Central Daylight Time now in St. Louis. I had to Google what time would it be in Sweden. He's 7 hours ahead of us. So it's 10:20 p.m. on Friday night. Now, I emailed this guy when I read about the museum a couple of days ago. I emailed him and I said, I know that 10:30, 10:35, when we're going to call you on a Friday night, you're probably already into your weekend. But if you don't mind taking 15 minutes to talk with us, we'd love to have you on to talk about your museum and some of the things that you're exhibiting there. And he writes back to me, he says, actually, that'll be fine, although I do have to tell you, after work on Fridays, I usually go home and have a bottle of wine, so I'll try not to slur too much.
Oh, Swedish Mike Evans.
I wanted to write back, we're used to it.
Yeah, really,
as long as you sing the Aloha Friday song, we're going to be okay. So he'll be on in about 15 minutes or so. Let's see what else is on my desktop here today. Oh, I don't care what 10 bands you've seen. Have you seen this on Facebook?
I avoid it.
You can't avoid
did
it.
Did I? Yeah.
Every person on your Facebook feed decided to jump on this meme, which is, here are 9 bands I've seen and 1 I haven't. Can you guess which one? No, and I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. If we were close enough to actually have a conversation about great concerts that you and I have been to, that might be interesting. But just a list of 10, you know, people get these memes and they go crazy. This afternoon I saw somebody was trying to start a new one. How about 9 guitarists I've seen? And one, I'm like, shut up.
Well, the thing I don't get is it's the list of 10 I've seen, but guess which one I haven't.
Yeah.
That's what I know. Come on. Avoid it.
Yeah. I haven't been timing it, but I have to say I give the first 100 seconds of our show today an A.
Oh, that's good.
All right.
Yeah. Apparently, you only have to look at the first 100 of anything now. let's see what else I wanted to mention here. Oh, I saw this great story a couple of days ago online on the New York Times website. A writer by the name of J.C. Fortin wrote this piece, and I'm just going to read to you the first 4 paragraphs of this piece. They're all very short. If you happen to be in Canada on a clear night and look to the stars, maybe you'll see it. A strip of light stretching from east to west all the way from the banks of Hudson Bay to the fjords of British Columbia. Is it a wayward piece of the Aurora Borealis, or maybe a plane's contrail, a rarely seen strip of a proton aurora, or is it a comet's tail? Actually, it's none of the above. Scientists are still working to figure out exactly what they're dealing with. And until that day, they're calling it Steve. Apparently, this is a thing in Canada. They look up, they see this weird thing in the sky, all the way across from one coast to the other. Nobody knows exactly. They know what it isn't. The scientists can say it's definitely not A, B, C, D. They rule those things out. What is it? We don't know. But it, look, Steve, it's Steve in the sky with diamonds or something like that. That's the great lead to a great story, which I put a link to if you want to read it on my website, harrisonline.com. What else do I want to mention here at the beginning? Oh, I joked about the 100 seconds and the 100 days. We don't do politics on this show, but I do have to mention one thing about President Trump. He did an interview with Reuters, which is one of the big news agencies. And in the interview, apparently, he said he thought being president would be easier than his previous life.
I saw that.
Now, I've never been president. I will never be president. I have no aspirations to have any political office whatsoever, but I would have to guess that no matter what your job is in America or anywhere else in the world, it's not as hard as being president. That's got to be the worst, hardest thing to do. Have you seen the pictures of any president 4 years, 2 years after their office?
Yes.
They all go super gray in that time, whether they do two terms or just one term. Sometimes just a couple of years in. George W. Bush, you know, went from a full head of regular-looking hair to a gray-haired guy like 2.5 years into his presidency. That's because every single day somebody comes to your desk and puts something down that should and would scare the crap out of everybody in the world. And by the way, you have to deal with that. You have to figure out what the answer is to this thing or that thing or how to get something passed through Congress or whatever it is. Who would think that their life would be easier going there? And here's the other thing in the interview that I don't believe. President Trump says he misses driving. What was the last time this guy drove a car?
Really?
No kidding.
He's a billionaire. What billionaire drives their own car anywhere? Plus, by the way, he lived in New York City, in Manhattan, where you don't have cars. You have cabs. You have limos. He was taking limos everywhere, right?
Yes.
He wasn't going to the parking garage of Trump Tower. Oh, where did I put the Prius?
No kidding.
Ivanka, where is the Civic? Do you know where it is? I forgot which spot I put it in. He hasn't been driving anywhere. When my brother was the acting Secretary of Labor for 6 months, he didn't drive. They had people who were on the like a special protective service that they have for members of the cabinet, and they came to his house in like one of these black SUVs with the blacked out windows and the hardened exteriors and all that sort of stuff, because technically he was in the line of presidential succession, and so they all had that. So he was the labor secretary,
right?
And he wasn't driving. Well, you can't expect when you're president. Hey, bring the Malibu around. I want to go out and get a Big Mac.
I wonder when the last time he did drive.
I would bet you that almost all of these people who get in there, and by the way, this is one of the things about how people always are complaining during political season about how a presidential candidate can't relate to regular people. Remember when, was it George H.W. Bush who didn't understand the supermarket scanner? Was that Bush 41 or Bush 43? I don't remember who it was. You know, he went into a supermarket and they had the self-checkout thing and he didn't know how it worked. He had never seen something like that. Of course he's never seen anything like that. He lives in the freaking White House. He doesn't have to go downstairs to the mess and buy things and check them out with the register. He just calls up and says, hi, I'd like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You want it on white or wheat? White. You want it toasted? Yes. And 8 minutes later, he has that delivered to him. You know, doesn't have to check that. They always ask presidential candidates, what do you think a gallon of milk costs? What does he care? When you get to that point, they're all rich by the time you get to that point, whatever milk costs, if you need milk in your house, you go to the store and you buy it. They don't know if it's $2 or $3 or $6 or whatever it is, and we always expect something different from them. You shouldn't. It's just a completely different life that they lead. So, of course, you're not going to be driving around. Oh, I really miss driving. You haven't driven in 20 years. When you have your own name on the side of your plane, you didn't fly the plane. You didn't drive the car. You didn't even call to get the limo to come pick you up. Right?
You're right.
Your assistant did that. Jenkins, right. get the car down here. Yes, sir, Mr. President. Or before that, when he wasn't president, just Mr. Trump.
Right.
Somebody would bring it to him. And the other only other White House thing I got to mention here is they set up a hotline a couple of weeks ago for people to report crimes committed by criminal aliens. This is all part of the wall thing, and we got to get illegal immigrants out of the country. But we really have to focus on people who are committing crimes who are not citizens. We got to get them out of the country. So they set up this hotline for people to report crimes committed by criminal aliens. It has been inundated with people calling to report extraterrestrial contact and UFO sightings instead. It's not somebody calling up and say, hey, a guy named Manuel looks Mexican. He moved into my neighborhood. You may want to come check on him. No, it's, hey, I think I was kidnapped by a guy with 3 ears and 14 eyes, and I'm pretty sure he anally probed me. That's what's going into the alien hotline at the White House. Oh, all right. That's all I got to start the show with today. We'll take this break and we'll come back with the man who runs the Museum of Failure, live from Sweden, of all places. And then next hour, Max is going to be in here. We're going to review the new Emma Watson, Tom Hanks movie, which is called The Circle. And then, of course, in the 5 o'clock hour, it's the most fun you can have with your radio on, the Harris Challenge, plus Knuckleheads in the News and Mike Evans. So we're glad you're with us on this Friday afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right. They are working with an accident. It's on westbound Highway 70 at 170. Now, it does look like they've moved it off to the right shoulder. Possibly the right lane is blocked. The boy, traffic is jamming back to Union. Eastbound drivers, you're slowing from Highway 170. That goes all the way through Jennings Station Road. Now, eastbound 44 out near St. Clair at Highway 50, you've got an accident that's blocking, and it looks like we've got at least a 2.5 to 3 mile jam up there. We have rain slow traffic everywhere around town now. Eastbound Highway 270 slows Missouri Bottom through Washington Elizabeth. Southbound 270 is stop and go from Dorset down through Doherty Ferry. Northbound 270, that's heavy from Big Bend up through Highway 40 and downtown eastbound 40 jamming up Vandeventer to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by Staples. They have low prices on everything you need to promote your business, from business cards, brochures, banners, pens, magnets, and calendars. Visit staples.com/print and marketing services for more. Staples. I'm Tim Weiland from the Jack Schmidt Ford Lincoln of Collinsville Traffic Desk.
Jessica Machetta, KTRS News.
Kent Martin, KTRS News.
Keeping you connected to St. Louis.
Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
And the world.
Alex Stone, ABC News, Fresno, California.
Aaron Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Alex Perez, ABC News.
The Big 550.
Jessica Machetta, KTRS News.
Trevor Phillips, KTRS News.
Jill Lenters, KTRS News.
Rick Sanborn, KTRS News.
KTRS. Depend on it. Do you love golf? Do you appreciate our veterans? The KTRS McGraw Open Golf Tourney, June 9th at Normandy Golf Course, will be raising money for the Focus Marines Foundation, serving wounded warriors, and the Greater St. Louis Honor Flight, honoring veterans by transporting them to Washington, D.C. to experience the memorials built in their honor. Join McGraw-Millhaven and book your foursome now for this great day of fun and help raise money for two great charities. Foursomes are filling up fast, so go to KTRS.com and click on McGraw Open for details. A foursome is just $500 and includes lunch, 18 holes of golf, followed by post-golf cocktails and food. Go to KTRS.com now and download your entry form. Then sign up and reserve your spot before they're all booked up. The KTRS McGraw Open, to benefit our veterans, is presented by Altair Travel, Gelmish & Sons, and Outdoor Living.
If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. Due to an important ruling to protect consumers in credit card debt, there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt and with no upfront cost. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information on how much you can save, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-700-7501. If you can't afford to pay off all of your debt, don't let the credit card companies trick you into thinking you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster and safer than you ever thought possible as a result of this rule, without bankruptcy or debt consolidation. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-700-7501. That's 1-800-700-7501. 1-800-700-7501.
Message and data rates may apply.
Are you a guy over 40 who can't stay in shape? That's because your body has less free testosterone, which can knock any guy off his game. Even five-time All-Star Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt.
Once I hit 40, I wasn't feeling like an All-Star anymore. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. So I got back into the game with Nugenix.
Award-winning Nugenix is GNC's number one selling free testosterone booster, powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle by texting ALL to 42424.
I'm back on top of my game, thanks to Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger, leaner, with a lot more energy and drive. And guys, it'll be a big hit with her too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. Get your complimentary bottle by texting ALL to 42424. That's ALL to 42424.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did American men get so soft? Today's average red-blooded American man has less testosterone than his father, and his father has less testosterone than his father. Before we turn into a country of powder puffs, Force Factor is launching the Man Up America event. We want to send every man in America a complimentary bottle of the breakout supplement taking GNC by storm. Test X 180 Ignite, loaded with free testosterone-boosting manliness. Get your complimentary bottle by texting FUEL to 369-369. During workouts, Test X 180 Ignite raises levels of free testosterone in your body to help build lean muscle. Plus, it helps burn fat, fuel sexual desire, and improve performance. Now you can continue to feel like the real men that made this country great. Do yourself a favor. Do America a favor. Text FUEL to 369-369 for your complimentary bottle. That's a complimentary bottle by texting FUEL to 369-369.
Everybody needs a good butcher. My butcher, Menino's. But why? Well, you get great hands-on service, not to mention customized cuts of beef and great information so you'll never mess up. Menino's Market has lean baby back ribs, $4.29 a pound, as well as a huge selection of choice Angus beef. They have a large selection of potatoes, pasta salad, and don't forget about the warm homemade French bread all day long. Menino's in Cotterville, and for catering, meninosmarket.com.
I bet you know the doctors, but you may not know the name, Sound Health Services. It's the largest privately owned ENT group in the St. Louis area. The doctors at Sound's 15 locations providing excellent care for ear, nose, and throat conditions, hearing and allergy care, dizziness and balance issues, as well as voice and swallowing conditions. They offer the convenience of a large group practice with multiple office sites and prompt appointment scheduling. Great service and great care at soundhealthservices.com. soundhealthservices.com.
Medical alert. Recent studies have linked the commercial herbicide Roundup with a significant increase in non-Hodgkin lymphoma. If you or a loved one were exposed to Roundup at work and then developed non-Hodgkin lymphoma, you may be entitled to financial compensation and you have the right to take action. Call the Levin Papantonio Law Firm, Pensacola, Florida, toll-free for a free consultation at 800-340-6621. Don't delay. Call today. That's 800-340-6621. Non-attorney spokesperson.
Hi, Terry Hall here. It's spring. When you're thinking of selling your home, start with figuring out what it's worth and what you can do to increase its value. My average days on the market for selling a home is less than 20 days. That's right. Your home sold in 20 days or less for the most amount of money. I've been helping people sell their home for 30 years. Let's start by meeting, going over what to do to get you the most money in the shortest time. Call me at 314-220-0524. That's 220-0524. Or email me at info@terryhall.net. That's info@terryhall.net.
If you're in St. Louis and you tell somebody you're going to a museum, you're probably talking about the art museum, the history museum. Maybe you're taking the kids to the city museum. Maybe you're going to the Museum of Contemporary Art. There are other famous museums around the world. You got the Museum of Modern Art in New York. You got the Louvre in Paris. In Zagreb, Croatia, they have the Museum of Broken Relationships. And coming on June 7th in Helsingborg, Sweden, is the brand new Museum of Failure. And here's the man who is running that museum, Dr. Samuel West, joining us live from Sweden. Hi, Dr. West. How are you?
Hello. Well, I'm thrilled that you mentioned my museum with that prestigious list.
How did you get the idea to do this?
Well, I've been researching innovation and organizational development for 7-8 years. And I've read so much business management books, business literature, and I'm kind of got tired of this same story of success, the narrative of somebody succeeding in business or with some new invention, and then from the sort of lofty throne of success, they ask everyone to, or invite everyone to learn from their successes. And I just got tired of the old same tired story. And I started wondering, where are all the failures behind these successes?
Yeah.
And they're hidden. They're very well hidden, which makes them even more interesting.
Yeah, there have to be failures along the way. There had to be a preparation A, B, C, D, E, F, and G before they got the preparation H, right?
Yeah, you wonder what they did.
What happened to 3 up and 5 up before we got 7 up? I'm kidding, of course, but you're right that there had we only learn from failure. If we only learn from success, that would be so much harder and would be such a higher bar.
Well, if you think about the stories of the success, obviously they're all alike, but they're very similar to each other. But the stories of failure are unique, and the products I have in this museum are each product or service that I display. They've all got their own sort of unique story to tell, and I often get asked the question: is there any sort of general theme for what causes products to fail? And the answer is no. I mean, there's so many ways to fail, which makes it fascinating, and it's a fantastic opportunity to learn.
You know what I think of as one of the greatest failure models you could possibly learn from, and that is show business. Look at the number of TV shows that get produced in the course of a year, whether it's in Sweden or America or in any country. The networks commit to making, if not hundreds, certainly dozens and dozens of new shows every year. And maybe, if they're lucky, 3 or 4 of those will be successful and run for several years. And the same thing, by the way, with movies. You got hundreds of millions of dollars being spent on movies that in many cases open on the first weekend and then are never heard from again.
Yeah, they totally flop. But you read about, movies that flop or TV shows, but there's not much attention given to what can we learn from it. I mean, so what? So this movie flops. What did they do wrong? Sure, there's a little mention about it. There's not really any story. Like, why? How did it fail? Who? Like, why did they? Why were they stubborn with their certain plot or their certain sort of ideas about the film? Why? I want to know why. What caused this failure? Because I'm fascinated by it, but also to see, can we prevent that from happening in the future?
Well, in many cases, the reason for the failure is because it wasn't a very good idea in the first place.
That's true.
I've read about a couple of things that you, and I want you to tell me more about them, but a couple of things that I know you're going to have in your exhibits at the Museum of Failure include Harley Davidson fragrance.
Harley Davidson after cologne, yeah. This is in 96, 97. They wanted to extend their brand to include. I actually only have the perfume or the fragrance. They actually launched baby clothes, a Barbie doll, and get this, drum roll, Christmas ornaments. And you can just imagine what this did to the hardcore macho Harley fan and just bought an expensive motorcycle, and he's got his all image going on. open, free road. I'm a fearless man. And then Harley goes, here's a Christmas ornament. it destroys the image.
Yeah, or two guys standing next to each other at a biker bar, and one of them turns to the other and says, Mike, you smell so much fresher today. What is that fragrance you're wearing? Oh, that's Harley Davidson.
I mean, this is part of the museum. I mean, it's easy to laugh at these failures. And that's great, because some of these products are just plain stupid. They shouldn't exist. But somebody should have said no somewhere during the innovation process. But I still think, like, if you look beyond sort of the humor aspect, you can still see it. There's something there. Like, what happened? Why did Harley do this? Were they stressed for cash? Was it some marketing guy's idea to say, hey, let's make money out of our brand and sell stuff that is not even related to motorcycles? What happened during that whole process that led them to manufacture this perfume?
Yeah, I wonder with that and some of the other things we're going to talk about, whether they are things that started at the bottom or at a middle level at the company and kind of worked their way up.
Usually the bad ones start at the top.
That's what I think. I think the CEO comes up with something, or the CEO's daughter or son has an idea, and he goes into work and he says, okay, we're going to do this now, and nobody's going to tell the CEO we're not going to do that, or it's a bad idea, or your kid's an idiot.
You think about the guys working on the floor, in the factory, putting together these motorcycles with the service technicians. None of them would have thought of creating a fragrance with Harley Davidson. It's absurd.
Absolutely right. Okay, so tell me about a few of the other things you're going to have at the Museum of Failure.
Well, I've got I've got different categories. One is silly, stupid products that shouldn't exist. I've got a facial mask that looks like a torture device from 1999, with if your older of you listeners remember Linda Evans from Dynasty, movie TV star.
Yeah,
she was a spokesperson for this. It looks like a torture device. You strap it onto your face, onto your head, and it shocks your face.
Wait a minute! Electro shocks your face?
Yeah. It shocks your face for 15 minutes. You're supposed to use it regularly for 3 months, and after that, you'll be guaranteed beautiful. The problem was that, nobody bothered using it for 3 months, I found one reviewer who wrote, it feels like 1,000 ants are biting me in the face. And on top of everything, the manufacturer never bothered to get the device safety approved.
Oh, good.
Makes it even better.
Oh, very, very good. So you don't even have the Underwriters Laboratory okay on there.
So shock your face,
So again, are you telling me that nobody at the company said, hold on a second, you're going to have a facial mask that you plug into a wall outlet and you expect people to use it?
And seriously, you got to take a look at this thing. It looks right out of some kind of a horror film.
Wow!
Use it.
But anyway, those
tub.
Are the products in this sort of they shouldn't exist category. And then there's the other end of the spectrum. There's maybe not so exciting products like the Blockbuster DVD rental case I have. There's the story. There is though much more interesting how Blockbuster was. They had, I think it was 8,000 stores. They were huge.
12,000.
12,000. They were huge, and they invested in internet streaming, right? So they got all that. They knew that was the future, sort of. Invested money into it, but then they realized that, wait a second, if we start streaming the movies, what are we going to do with our profits? They come from late fees. We punish our customers when they return their DVDs late.
Right.
So instead of sort of pushing forward and adjusting their business model, they stubbornly wanted to keep their profits from late fees. So they dumped the whole internet streaming stuff, fired the CEO who wanted to do that, got another guy in who just did as he was told. Several years later, Netflix killed blockbuster.
Yep. There was actually a very interesting story about this on CBS Sunday Morning, a news show here in America, last weekend. And it turns out that I thought all the blockbusters were gone, but in Alaska, our coldest state, there are actually 12 blockbuster stores.
No.
Yes, one guy owns all of them. And here's the reason. Because up there, internet access is so expensive that if you had a Netflix account and you were streaming video, it would be prohibitively expensive to watch that movie.
Interesting.
And they also said in the story that when Netflix was starting up and Blockbuster was still around, Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix, buy the whole company for $50 million. And they said, no, we don't need them. We'll make our own. And, of course, now they're gone for the most part. And Netflix is worth $60 billion or something like that.
Just crazy. I mean, if you look, the visitors to the museum, I mean, my perspective is like the organizational learning and innovation, but the interest comes from all kinds of people who are not even nerds or even interested in the innovation process, because they find that when they see these big, powerful companies screw up so badly when they should know better.
Yep.
It gives some kind of freedom to us as well. That it's okay to fail. I mean, if they can fail, we should allow ourselves and tolerate failure when we try something new.
That's right. Now, I want to ask you about two other items, and I don't know if you're going to have them in the exhibits there, but to me, they are examples of failures that still got enormous media hype for whatever reason. Everybody was buzzing about them, and everybody heard of them, but I don't think anybody actually bought them and used them. And those two things are the Segway and Google Glass.
Oh, two great examples. I've got both of them. Google Glass first, because that one's pretty easy. Google launched Google Glass. It's a cool product. It's really cool, high-tech stuff. The problem was they launched it as a prototype. There was no real use for the product. And the only people who got to buy these expensive Google Glass devices were bloggers, journalists, people with a lot of opinions, right?
Yep.
So these people with opinions don't only have positive opinions. So, I mean, the hype, it got hyped way out of proportion.
Yeah.
And then when these people bought them and tested them, they realized that there was, what are they going to use them for? So it died down equally. I mean, as fast.
On top of all that,
the privacy issues.
Yes.
I mean, there were signs in San Francisco saying, no dogs allowed and no people with Google Glass. They even called people that used Google Glass they called them glass holes.
I remember that.
Google, they're awesome. They get so many things right, and even they fail occasionally.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, and the Segway, I love the Segway, because when people see the Segway, right now it's in my conference room at my office, but they look at it and say, but that's not a failure. You can't have that in your museum, because we see the Segway, you see them driving around every now and then. And but the issue is that the Segway, the expectations for the Segway were, quote, that in the future, cities will build their infrastructure around the Segway.
Yeah.
It was such a revolution.
Right.
For this dopey device that costs as much as a car. it's really expensive, or was and still is. And so it's not that the Segway still exists, but it didn't even come close to what was expected of it. It's still a failure per definition.
Yeah, the only people I've ever seen riding Segways are the people who give tours at the St. Louis Science Center and mall cops.
Paul Blart.
Exactly.
Did you learn to ride the one that you have?
No, because I couldn't afford the ones that actually work. So the one I bought was it was imported from Saudi Arabia. Because some dude had driven off a pier and it got it drenched in salt water. So it doesn't work, and it still cost me almost $1,000.
I'm just envisioning the guy on the Segway going down the pier, right. And at a certain point he realizes, nope, I'm going in the water. do they still make Segways?
The company's been, you know, it's gone through different constellations. I don't know, ownership. So the Segway Corporation still exists in some form. But now there's all these spin-offs, the cheaper brands that are basically the same thing, but cheaper.
All right, let me mention a couple of items, the other items that I know you're going to have when the museum opens on June 7th. Apple, another huge company, they made a device called the Newton. Was that like one of the first tablets that you wrote on with a stylus?
It was the first PDA. It was called Apple Message Pad. Everybody called it the Apple Newton. And Apple's mistake there was that they launched it way too early. So it didn't actually, the handwriting recognition, that you use the stylus on the screen to enter data, and it didn't work. So it was inaccurate, it was slow, and people just mocked it to death because it was expensive and it was all hyped up and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But Apple got it right. So I can't remember if it was a year later, but shortly thereafter, they actually released an update where the key feature, this handwriting recognition, actually worked really good. But by that time, people were already calling, Newton became synonymous with technology that doesn't work.
Yeah. Speaking of things that you write with, the BIC Corporation came out with something that you're going to have on exhibit, right?
Yeah. It's the BIC pen for her. It's a brilliant, it's a radical innovation because women need pens that are specifically designed for their sensitive female hands. This is one of those products that's in the category stupid thing, somebody should have said no.
Yeah.
It comes in female, the colors that women prefer. And it's apparently much better. It's better than those regular pens that us men use.
All right. One other thing.
They cost twice as much as regular pens as well.
One other thing that I saw on your museum's website, but it doesn't describe it. It's some kind of a lobotomy instrument. Please tell me. Is it a self lobotomy instrument?
No. It's actually a sad one because it's called the orbitoclast. So lobotomies were performed on psychiatric patients, and the procedure was complicated at first, and it took too long, and they needed to perform a lot of these operations. So the orbitoclast is basically, if you imagine an ice pick, a heavy-duty ice pick,
yeah,
and a hammer, So you put the ice pick behind the patient's eye, in the socket right behind the eye, and smash through the skull, destroy their frontal lobes of the brain.
Okay.
And then repeat the procedure on the other eye.
Okay.
And then, is that enough?
Yeah, I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah, you were the one I asked.
Well, this is the interesting thing about these tools. The tools themselves were a huge success because you could perform these operations on a massive scale. The failure here is the procedure itself. It's horrible. People died and suffered, and it didn't. It was a horrible procedure.
Tool
was a success, but the procedure wasn't.
It worked on me, though.
Doctor, this is a brilliant piece of equipment. Too bad the patient died. Oh, wow.
The stories of the ice pick getting stuck in the skull.
Oh, man.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
It is.
So this is an example where, if they would have done this procedure correctly, they would have tested the procedure, preferably on animals, but before they launch a massive, massive scale treatment on thousands, hundreds of thousands of patients.
Yeah.
So the story of failure is, the museum wants to convey that you should fail, in small ways, in small experiments. Don't save your failures for the big ones where it actually counts, where people get hurt and die.
Absolutely. It's the Museum of Failure. It's going to open on June 7th in Helsingborg, Sweden, which is the southern end of Sweden, not far from Copenhagen, Denmark. And I hope that you'll have a touring exhibit, and eventually it'll come around to St. Louis so we can see some of the other stuff and meet you in person.
I hope so, too.
Dr. Samuel West is the director of the Museum of Failure. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Hey, Tim Weiland's going to give us some traffic that I was stuck in earlier.
Yeah, welcome back, Dan.
Thanks.
All right, glad to have you here. All right, they're working with this accident on eastbound Highway 44 at Highway 50 down in the St. Clair area. You're backed up all the way to Highway 47. They just cleared an incident on southbound 55 between Rivas and Lindbergh, but you're jammed back all the way through River de Pere. Southbound 270 has bumper-to-bumper traffic due to the rain because you're north of Dorset now down through Doherty Ferry. Southbound 170 from Page down through Highway 40. You've got westbound 40 drivers jamming up. Well, there's debris in the roadway westbound 44 at Vandeventer blocking the right lane. And then you've got stop-and-go traffic from Arsenal, and that goes through Shrewsbury. And eastbound Highway 64 in Illinois, an accident at Highway 157. You're jammed back to 111. And this traffic report brought to you by Staples. HP Savings Month at Staples means big savings on great HP products all month long. Experience the outstanding print quality of HP Ink at stores or staples.com/HP Month. Staples. I'm Tim Weiland from the Jack Schmidt Ford Lincoln of Collinsville Traffic Desk.
The Big Sports Show.
The Big Sports Show.
Hey, it's Jim Hewer. On Friday's show, we break down a little bit about the NFL draft, preview the NHL playoffs, and we have KTRS FC Soccer Weekly for you, 7 to 9. Dale Schilly joins in. Jeremy Allenbaugh joins us, talks about St. Louis FC's game against Orlando, and former St. Louis FC player Mike Ambersley.
The Big Sports Show. Weeknights from 6:30 till 9 on the Big 550 KTRS. We are our Mizzou.
Hey, St. Louis, this is A.J. Cochran, center back for St. Louis FC. Join us this season at Worldwide Technology Soccer Park as we represent our city against some of the best soccer talent in the country.
The St. Louis FC season is underway. Get your tickets now for all remaining home games. The first two seasons included sold-out crowds and an authentic soccer experience.
St. Louis FC, presented by Mercy, takes on the visiting Rochester Rhinos Saturday, May 6th, 7:30 is game time. For tickets, visit stlouisfc.com.
Hi, this is Molly from the Piccadilly Manhattan. The backyard barbecue season is gearing up. Come join us Wednesdays for our 24-ounce pork steak that you can cut with a fork. We smoke them with hickory and charcoal and season them with our own rub and sauce. Pork not your thing? Get a brisket burger that we grind in-house every day, finished with American cheese on a Hawaiian bun. We have daily specials and a full bar. We're open Tuesday through Saturday. Call for details or a reservation today. 314-646-0016. See you soon.
Hurry into Buffalo Wild Wings for happy hour Monday through Friday.